Mr. Bieksa, people are not super happy in this city with their hockey team right now. People are calling for firings there and firings here and trades there. Everybody wants some sort of change right now in Calgary. So that's just that's an update on how people are feeling about the Flames in this city.
Well, let me put on my surprise face then. but I mean, when you lose 2 out of 3 to Ottawa, and you do it the way they did by, you know, losing by 4 or 5 goals, I can understand that there's a little bit of concern. And we talked about, I think, last week, if they could somehow get that second win against Toronto, and then, you know, that ended up being a split. They lost that game. But then come back with Ottawa and win those three, they would be right back in the playoff race. But things have obviously taken a turn sideways, and now here we are. And, yeah, the questions are going to end the – you know, the firing talk and all that stuff is just going to circulate the team until they can find a little bit of consistency and start winning some games.
It's been up and down or one step forward, one step back, like all season long. And I know it's 23 games, but it's also 23 of a 56-game schedule. Like, you're kind of running out of runway to figure it out at this point. Just, I'm curious on an entire body of work, how you watch them even back into the bubble and in that postseason. So what are your observations on this team from afar?
Well, it's inconsistent, I think. You get two different teams each night, and you're not sure what you're going to get. And that's a big hurdle for a team to take to become a team that's consistently good every single game. It's harder than people think. And some people just kind of throw that out there. Oh, you got to be more consistent. You got to be more consistent. Well, what does that actually mean? That means playing the same game, putting up the same effort every single night. And if that's a back-to-back, if that's a 3-5, and you're just not seeing that with Calgary. You're seeing one night an unbelievable effort against Toronto where you beat them 3-0 and you shut them out when they're red hot. And then the following night, you know, you're seeing maybe an okay effort, a good enough effort that they're not on the right side. And then other nights you're seeing against Ottawa an absolutely terrible effort where not as much of a pulse or heartbeat and sloppy and, you know, goaltenders trying to, you know, maybe not making saves that they should be. So, consistency is a tough thing. They're just a game under 500, so kind of makes my point right there. And the funny thing is they're still not out of the playoff race. Fortunately, Montreal's been struggling with the same kind of issues, and it just kind of looks like Montreal's going to find themselves maybe a little bit quicker, but they're only 6 points out of the playoffs. Like, they're still kind of in this race if they can put a couple wins together, but that's the concern, is the consistency is trying to find that same effort every night.
When you talk to us about consistency, because you were on those two Canucks teams that won back-to-back President's Trophy. And I know that it didn't end up exactly the way you wanted it in the postseason, but you know, for 82 games, those two Canucks years were the picture of consistency. What's it take? How do you be a consistent team game in, game out?
Well, it's just a mentality and an expectation that you're just not going to settle for anything less. And we, none of us really know what's going on in that locker room or where it stands. And if there's a divide, if there's not, but you know, the older guys, the leaders have to lead and everybody else has to kind of fall into line, and they have to know that there's a certain threshold of work ethic and execution that they need every day. There's not a whole lot of practicing right now because of the schedule, how condensed it is. So, you know, for the most part, we're talking about games and we're talking about consistent effort in games and, you know, young guys doing whatever it takes to win. And, you know, it's hard to pinpoint like where the fault lies because we don't really know the dynamics of the room. But, you know, you just have to – I can't imagine being a young guy in the NHL and having somebody question my work ethic. Like, I just cannot, I wouldn't be in the NHL. I would have been out of the NHL so quick had I not only worked hard, but outworked everybody else. It's just a different time right now. I just don't understand how you could probably the worst thing that you could have question about you is your work ethic and your compete level. So for me, like with young guys coming up, I just don't understand that, but it seems like there's questions about that there in Calgary.
When you're in a period like this, Kevin, you're on a team that maybe is not playing up to expectations and you're kind of middling. And as you say, thanks to Montreal struggles, you're still in the playoff race. Is there a sense of, as you watch the Flames, do they look like a group that's waiting for something to happen, whether it's a trade or a coach firing? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, there can be, for sure, at times where you just, you know that you're struggling, you know that you're underperforming, and you're waiting. You know something's going to happen at some point. So is it coach? Is it it's usually not management, but is it a big player change? You know, we've had the Sam Bennett rumors in the media for a while, but is there something else that's going to be a bigger trade than that, that's really going to spark the team? And, you know, you've seen it with some other clubs around the league this year. I don't know what that horns. Yeah, somebody's losing their mind on the street. But, yeah, sometimes as a team, you're just kind of waiting around for a big change to be made. And after that change is made, then you tend to find everybody, you know, becomes a little bit more accountable, and they settle in. They're like, okay, now it's time to move forwards. And until something's done, everybody's just kind of stuck in the same, you know, Groundhog Day.
We talked to Christopher Stieg this morning, and you guys playing in the league would know more about systems and how teams play and all that than us just watching as dumb media guys. I'm curious what you think about the Flames, because they're not a team that has a bunch of guys that are necessarily burners, but they also don't play a fast game. Like, when you watch the Flames, what do you see, Kevin?
Well, I mean, playing a fast game doesn't necessarily mean skating either. It's moving the puck quick and on the tape. So at times I see a team that's a little bit sloppy. When you're sloppy with the puck and you're throwing pucks around the boards and you're banking passes instead of making tape-to-tape, hard, crisp passes, I don't care how fast of a team you are, that slows you down, and that looks slow. So, I mean, you just seem a team that's kind of played the same way for a while, and at times they hold on to the puck a little bit and they play a little bit slow. So, you know, pushing the pace and trying to go north-south as much as possible. And I think just the way I look at that team, it's more of a straight-line team. It's more of a We've talked about this before. The Calgary Flames, the identity of the Calgary Flames for the last 25 years is a hard-nosed, tough team to play against. And what that means is taking pucks wide and driving the net in zone, trying to stuff pucks down low, trying to throw pucks low to high and then get to the net and battle for position, tips, rebounds. That's the kind of team I still think they are. I still think they're a team that's blue-collar and meat and potatoes, and that's when you don't have consistent effort and you have questions about competitiveness, yeah, your team's going to struggle, because that's what your team's supposed to be really good at.
Just one more on that, Kevin, and that's, you know, you talk about playing fast and the difference between it's not necessarily how many fast guys are on your team, it's making quick decisions and getting the puck off your stick quickly. When that's not happening, is that a systems thing, a coaching thing, or does that come down to execution and not actually going out and doing what's asked of you?
Well, it's more of an execution thing. You know, you can have any system in place, but when pucks are flying around and they're not tape to tape and they're hitting guys sticks and exploding, that's on the players, I think, a little bit. So yeah, as a coach, you have to understand if your team is playing slow, then maybe you do have to make some changes, right? Maybe you do have to make some system changes and either try to stretch things out or maybe condense them and have more support and shorter passes. I know with Montreal, they're really talking about having attacking and with more support and not being so isolated, so one-on-one all over the ice. They feel like they're two one-on-one and they want to have more little two-on-ones and create little, you know, three-on-two, two-on-ones whenever they can. So, you know, as a coach, that's your job. Your job is to monitor how your team's playing. And if it's not, you know, playing the right way or it's slow, it's sloppy with the puck, you kind of tweak your system to kind of help them out.
Kevin Bieksa is with us. Sportsnet's Kevin Bieksa joins us every Wednesday on the big show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I did want to ask you to switch it away from the Flames. Are you ready to write off on your former team, Vancouver? Like, is this donezo for them on the season, or do you see a way they get back into it?
It's not looking too good there, is it? It's tough because, like you guys said before, you're almost halfway done the season and you're running out of runway very, very quickly. They played the most games in the division and they're 5 points out of the playoffs, but, you know, Montreal is 5 games in hand, so they're essentially 15 points out of the playoffs, and then you got Calgary, same thing, 3 games in hand, and they're a couple back. So they're probably 10 points back, or, you know, at least 6 to 8 points back for Montreal for Calgary for fifth. It's just going to be really, really tough to make up ground because you're only playing the same six teams, and half those teams have to win every night when they're playing each other. So there's going to be points in the division. That's the thing that's different than normal years, right? You can have, you know, say Vancouver's chasing Calgary. Calgary goes out east and they play Tampa, Carolina, Florida, and they just get swept and they get no points in three games. And, you know, Vancouver goes out to the Central and plays, you know, Detroit and St. Louis and Dallas, and they sweep it and boom, like you just made up a whole bunch of ground on the team. Well, you don't really have that opportunity anymore because, like I said, there's only seven teams in the division. So I think being behind right now is even more dangerous than it normally is. And the Canucks are just, it's a slippery slope right now for them.
And I would say that that's probably a main reason. You mentioned Montreal and their struggles. Another coaching change. They fired their head coach and assistant coach last week. And then last night after the game, I believe the reporting said after the first period, they decided to fire a goaltending coach, Stephen Wade, as well. So there's now three coaching changes in Montreal. You look at the way they started the year, they never thought they'd be here. But is this a GM trying to save his job in your eyes, Kevin?
I think it's a GM honestly trying to win games. And I feel like in Montreal, they thought Ducharme was their guy from the beginning. So, yeah, he was brought in as an assistant coach, but he's got a ton of head coaching experience at the junior level. And I think the process was probably to groom him to become the head coach. So I'm sure that happened a little bit sooner than they wanted. But I don't know if it's to save his job. Yeah, like, of course he's trying to win games, and ultimately that would save his job. But bringing in Alex Burrows, who you guys are well aware of, and I just really like that move now. I like the way the game is and the way this generation of new NHL players is. I think it's really important for teams to have freshly retired players in the organization in some capacity, communicating with the players and just being a bit of a liaison between, you know, the head coach and management and the actual players. Like, you guys have McGrattan there in Calgary, who's a little bit different role, more away from the rink. But I think those roles are so important. And I think it's a different generation, and you need players that are still kind of in that, you know, and aren't too far removed, that have played with some of these guys that can bridge the gap. So, like in Calgary, who can maybe, you know, sometimes bringing in a guy like that to help out with the team and on the bench and maybe be that sounding board? Because I'm sure the players right now, like, I know I'm bringing this back to Calgary, but I'm sure the players are super frustrated themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's like banging your head against the wall, and you're trying different things. You're not getting the results. And, you know, those conversations with coaches, like, you, as smart as I sound right now, not all hockey players are that articulate, right? That's a bit of a joke. But, like, when you're having I'm sure, like, if Trev Living has a conversation with a couple older guys in the team, maybe they don't actually articulate how they're feeling, because it's tough to talk to an authority figure sometimes, and you don't always tell them what you want to say, and you don't really get off. So having, like, a player there that can be that guy who filters your message on, like, I think that would be, like, a nice little temporary patch the Band-Aid for Calgary. I just don't know who they have or that lives around there that could fill that void. Maybe, like, a Mason Raymond or a Matt Stajan or somebody like that, who I know still lives around there.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you too, because I know it's talked about a lot, and I don't know how much there, you know, how much weight it carries, Kevin. You mentioned it with the players and kind of that, maybe that being that middleman, but just in terms of an NHL dressing room and a coaching staff, are they more respected? Is that an actual thing when those coaches have played or have been in your shoes? Is that a real thing?
Well, I think it is, yeah. I think for sure when you have, you know, you can, I'm not saying that you can't be respected without playing. Like, John Tortorella never played at a professional level. I think he's respected. I know I respected him a ton. But, you know, a guy like Alain Vigneault, he only played, I think, 50 NHL games. I wouldn't call that a huge career, but there's a little bit of respect there for a guy like Randy Carlyle.
Scotty,
right?
Bowman probably never played.
Probably Randy Carlyle is probably not the nicest guy I ever played for. That's an understatement, but he's played a lot of NHL games. He's been in the trenches. He's won a Norris Trophy. Just ask him. So there's a level of respect there. Every day in the minors in Manitoba, I'd walk by him and he'd you know, I'd say, hey, Randy, morning, Randy, give me like a smart ass comment. And then he would say, how many Norrises have you won? And I'm like, well, none. I'm in the AHL and I've never played an NHL game. So obviously I've won zero. So, and then when he coached me later on down the line in Anaheim, when he used to use that line on me again, how many Norrises have you won? And I go, how many guys have you knocked out? And it was usually a stalemate. I go, how many guys have you one punched, Randy? None? Well, I got a few.
Did I just hear a golf cart reversing? Is that what we're at here?
That's my wife. My wife's taking off in the golf cart reversing it to go pick the kids up. I think life's a little bit different here in California, guys. It's raining today, and it was out of nowhere. I know it's an emergency. It never rains. So like my academy, we usually have yoga Wednesdays where we do recovery for the boys, and we had to cancel it. It's a catastrophe here.
Had to cancel yoga Wednesdays, eh?
Yoga Wednesdays, I hope you're okay now.
Under the palm trees.
That's a bad beat. I feel for you. I really do.
Yeah, we're grooming some tough hockey players here. Yoga under the palm trees on Wednesdays.
Well, a little bit of rain, eh, boys? Let's cancel that dry land. We better get you out of here.
Let me ask you one more before we let you go. Connor McDavid and the Oilers haven't scored in two straight against Toronto. They play again tonight in Edmonton. They've been shut out 4-0 and 3-0. What do you think that frustration level is like for Connor and Draisaitl and the rest of that Oilers team right now?
Well, I don't know how frustrated they are because they're playing really well and they're scoring against everybody else. So I think Connor and Leon are probably feeling pretty good about themselves in general. I'm sure they go to bed at night sleeping pretty well and they're nice houses at the top of the NHL standings for scoring. The team's put together a lot of wins, so it's probably only a matter of time before they break out against Toronto offensively. And you've seen the games where they've both been held off the score sheet, how they respond after. So I'd be a little bit scared if I'm Toronto. But that being said, and then this kind of just loops right back into my old point, the job that Manny Malhotra has done in Toronto, they started off the season and they were still the leaky Leafs with holes defensively and miscues and coverage errors. And boy, have they turned it around and they're playing some really consistent hockey. And I have to think that Manny's a big part of that because he was such a defensive, detailed guy when I played with them and as a player. And I really think, you know, Toronto still is that puck possession team and they like to trade chances and they like to go on the offense, but they're doing a little bit better job of not at the mercy of the defense or sacrificing maybe breakaway one way for 2-on-1 the other. They're a little bit more smarter with their chances. And I think that he's probably a big deal then. They're at the top of the division. They're going to be tough to catch right now, but it'll be fun to watch Marner's Matthews against Leon and Connor. And I would expect a higher scoring game. And I certainly would expect Connor not to be held off the score sheet again.
Yeah, I don't think there's very many times in his life where he's gone three straight games without a point. Kevin, I just wanted to finish on this because you had mentioned a couple of times you know a lot of people in the Flames organization, and you did drop a name a couple of weeks ago. So I just remembered today, I just texted Corey Osmak, and I said, hey, we've got Bieksa every Wednesday. I need some dirt. He texted me back. He said, oh, do I have dirt, but I can't say it on the air. Just kidding. Awesome guy. Say hi from me, and he may say S about me. Actually, don't say hi from me. So hi, but not hi from Corey Osmak.
Do you guys – you know Corey Osmak was drafted in the NHL?
Hartford Whalers.
Ninth rounder. Like,
just ask him. He never talks about it.
Yeah, just like Carlisle and his Norris. Yeah. Just ask Osmak if he's been drafted.
Oh, really? Yeah, he didn't mention it too much in the minors because Randy was walking around bragging about his Norrises. So, but you know what's funny about Randy is he if you check his stats, I'm pretty sure he ended up with 499 career assists. So it's always like, couldn't get that last assist, eh, Randy? That's a little fun dig you could throw back at him. Oh, 499 assists. Tough bounce, buddy.
Yep. Not only is it 499, he also finished at 148 goals, so couldn't get two more.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. You're like hockeydb.com.
Yeah, well, thanks. I mean, it's nice doing a show at home with a laptop at your fingers.
Probably exactly where you went is hockeydb.com.
It's exactly where I went.
By the way, Corey Osmak.
He is a beauty.
One of the absolute beauties. So anything that we said, he's actually a
team. You know what? He's not the problem there. If you're talking about what's going on in Calgary and you want someone to blame, I wouldn't blame Ozzy.
You're saying Ozzie's good in the room?
Ozzie's great in the room. Yeah, yeah, he's a little, you know, those equipment guys, they complain every once in a while. They're a little bit, yeah, wah, 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 but Ozzie's awesome.
It's a good way to finish. Thank you, Kevin. We'll talk next week.
Hope we get a couple wins this week, guys.
Go Flames.
Go Flames.
See you, Kevin. Yeah. Appreciate it.